Praise God. Oh, how we need the Lord in these days. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to read a few more verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you'll look there with me this morning. The last part of the first chapter, and then we'll look at some of chapter 2 also. But we're going to read here in the first chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13. Or we'll go to, 13. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Amen. Well, we've already talked about this last week, but we just want to go a little further in this, what I'm calling a journal of an old king. Solomon is old. This is the book that he wrote just right at the end of his life, in the last season of his life. He wrote the Proverbs in the earlier years of his life, and then Song of Solomon in the middle, or Song of Songs in the middle of his life. And at the end of his life, he writes this book of Ecclesiastes. Some of you probably are thinking, well, I thought that wisdom comes with age. That's not always true. There's a lot of pretty foolish older people. I don't want to fall in that category. Everyone that is wise, it also doesn't exclude the young from receiving wisdom. They can be wise young people and foolish older people. We think of wisdom as the wisdom of years, and certainly experience and years does make a difference as far as, you know, your life experience and wisdom is concerned. But the wisdom that Solomon is talking about here is not the wisdom just of years, but it's the wisdom that is the gift of God. It comes down from heaven. It's a gift that comes from the Lord. James chapter 3. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's talking about carnal wisdom, man's wisdom. It's sensual, it's devilish, it's earthly, is what James said. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But, this is verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Wisdom is important, but it's really important not just to have the wisdom of years, but to have wisdom that is the gift of God that comes down from above. Amen. So that means, that's why that the scripture says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And God wants to give to you wisdom. And some of you that are young, and you may feel like that you need help from the Lord in this area, which I'm sure that you do. it's okay, and it's really a good thing for you to pray. Oh, God, in my young years, give me wisdom beyond my years. That's what happened to Solomon, remember? The Lord said, I'm going to give you anything, Solomon, anything that you desire. His desire was discernment and wisdom and knowledge to know how to do the job. He was just a 17-year-old king, and he is looking at a huge responsibility, and he understands, I need something from God. I need wisdom from above. If more young people, I would ask the Lord for wisdom. You need wisdom to make wise decisions. You need wisdom from God to be able to raise your family. You need wisdom from God to be able to live a life that's honoring God and pleasing to the Lord. And so if you lack wisdom, which all of us, I'm sure, lack in some areas, ask of God. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's the promise of God. If you need wisdom and you desire wisdom that comes from above, then ask God for it. Amen. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Now Solomon is old. When he's writing this book, he's probably in his 70s now. Now, I don't want to upset anyone that's in your 70s by calling you old. But if you're not old, you're getting close. You're getting close to that age. But Solomon is probably in his... He died when he was around 80 years old, and this is the last book that he wrote. This is a book that he wrote with the purpose in his heart. His desire in his heart was to go through all these things, all of his mistakes, all of his failures, and said to say to you and to me and to everyone that reads this book of Ecclesiastes that we would understand you don't have to make the same mistakes. You don't have to go the same way that Solomon went. You don't have to follow in that same direction. So he wrote this as a warning. He wrote this to say, don't do like I did. We know that Solomon was wise in his younger years, but then he turned away from the Lord. I mean, his turn was extreme away from the Lord. To bring in idolatry, to bring in all kinds of pagan activities. He brought in 700 pagan wives and 300 concubines. He infiltrated his own home with that kind of an ungodly pagan influence. And Solomon now is looking back on all those things that he did, and he recognizes, what a failure, what a mistake that I made. I believe at the end of his life that Solomon came back to his senses, came back to God, and began to follow after the Lord once again at the end of his life. God was merciful to him and restored him at the end of his life. That's my feeling, my understanding of what the scripture says about Solomon. And so he wrote this to spare us of going down the same sinful pathway. It's worthwhile to listen to cautions and warnings and wisdom. Amen? God puts people in our lives to warn us. I hadn't been saved very long, 15, 16 years old. And I was like a lot of young people, I was looking at life and looking at things and involving in some things. I was going to church, but I had my big toe stuck in the world. And I was kind of checking out a few things in the world as well. And I remember getting a phone call one day from my pastor, and he said, can I come and pick you up? I said, where are we going? He said, well, nowhere really in particular. I just want to have a chance to visit with you. I knew what was up. I knew he was getting ready to line me out, and he did. And as I got in the car with him and he began to talk to me, I could tell he was concerned. I knew that he loved me. I knew he was interested in what was happening, some of the decisions that I was making and the direction I was kind of turning toward. And he warned me about it. He warned me, and he encouraged me. and talk to me about the Lord, talk to me about my life, about my future, about my calling, and all of these things that he talked to me about. And then we made our circle. I don't know how long the conversation was, probably no more than 30 minutes. We didn't go anywhere, really. But he spent his time and invested in me, and he warned me of some of the steps I was taking, some of the decisions I was following after. Now, I have to be honest with you, I kind of resented it. I kind of didn't like it too much. I was, you know, a kid, and I wasn't too pleased with what he was saying, but I tell you what, it had an impact upon me. And over the next couple of years, as I would make certain decisions, I remembered it. I remembered his concern. I remember his prayers, and I remembered the warnings. Thank God that God is merciful enough to us from time to time to warn us of the direction that we're following. Amen. Don't go that direction. Don't follow after that thing. Don't set your affection on those things. If you do, there will be consequences. You will pay the price. You will lose all the wonderful things that God has planned for you. That's what Solomon is doing, and he can look back on his life and his 60 plus years of being king in Jerusalem, king of Israel, and his good years, his not so good years, and his absolute years of failure. And he had all of that that he could speak to us about in the book of Ecclesiastes to warn us, to encourage us to go in the ways of the Lord. Remember, we said last week that 38 times in this book, he uses the word vanity, vanity of vanities. And it just means emptiness, emptiness. He said, I've tried all of this. I've experimented with all of these things that are in the world. And I want you to know it's all emptiness. It's all vanity. I have tried it all. I've had 700 wives. I've built every kind of building and house you can imagine. I've had all of these horses and chariots. You name it, I've had it. I've had gold, I've had silver, I had wealth. I've had everything that you could ever imagine. I've had it all, and it is all emptiness. It's all emptiness. We need to be reminded today, folks, that there are a lot of things that you can run after in your life. And once you get a hold of it, it's really just emptiness, emptiness. And he not only, in this, another place here, or in this text, and then throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, seven different times, he uses the word vexation of spirit. The word vexation. It's kind of interesting. The word vexation means to feed on the wind. To feed on the wind. And by that, he was just saying, I have tried it, and it was just empty. I've tried it. There was nothing there. I was striving and running after all of these things. And as soon as I thought I got a hold of them, it just dissipated. It was gone. Like James, who said, this life is really just like a vapor. It comes and then it goes. It drifts away. And before you know it, all the things of this life are vanity. And then he added this phrase, they're vanity and vexation of spirit. They're like grabbing at the wind. You can't get a hold of it. You're looking for something to satisfy and to fulfill you, and you cannot find it in this world. Another phrase that he uses a lot in this book is under the sun. Under the sun. And he uses that phrase just to remind us that we're living in an earthly experience. The sphere of our life is under the sun. It's earthly. It's fleshly. It's carnal. Everything above the sun, that speaks of heaven and God and all the things that are eternal and wonderful. And he said, all of these things I'm experiencing under the sun. Under the sun. There's just an emptiness to it. It's earthly. It's without God. He's above the sun. But this earth is what he said. I was reaching for everything and chasing after everything that this earthly life can offer. And it is nothing but vexation of spirit. Amen? Amen. It's unsatisfying. It's unfulfilling. The things of this life, no matter what you get a hold of, it is empty. It is frustrating. It's unfulfilling because nothing of this earth really matters. So when you get into chapter 2, you can kind of get even a clearer view of what he is pursuing after. That's what he said. I said in my heart, go to now. Or this is what I was going to, I said, I'm going to chase after all these things. I'm going to pursue all these things. And I'm going to prove them. I'm going to put it to the test. And just see if all this, all the things of the world could ever satisfy me. And we know the end of the story that none of them ever would satisfy. I guess a good question to ask you this morning and for me to ask myself as well, what are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? What are you running after? You don't have to have a lot of money to be running after money. You don't have to have a lot of possessions and things to set your affection on them and to chase after them. What are you pursuing? What is really important in your life? What do you spend your days and your weeks? What are you running after? Is it just a little bit more of what this world has to offer? Are you looking for some good times? That's really what he's describing here. He said, therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. He said, laughter. I said, of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, and what doeth it? He said, I look for everything to try to satisfy the desire of my heart. And he said, I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to laugh a lot. I wanted to laugh a lot and have a good time. We know that laughter is not sinful. As a matter of fact, the Word of God describes laughter as something that's healthy for you. Merry heart does good like a medicine. But not if that's the pursuit of your life. Not if that's the only, if you're just after things that please you so that you can have a good time out of it. If that is your pursuit, you're going to come up empty. You're going to be grabbing at the wind. It's going to be vexation of spirit. You're going to be searching for something that is not going to satisfy. I won't name any names, but there's some people that I know, grown adults, two men, who recently spent an entire week in Florida. These are two men, 40-ish, without their families, without their children. And they went there and they visited 6 amusement parks. And they rode 78 rides. And I got to thinking, when's the last time that I rode a ride at a place? And I remembered last year, it's been about a year and a half ago, we were down in Tennessee, and my kids and my grandkids talked me into getting on this ride. I thought my neck was going to be broke. I thought I wasn't going to survive it. And I promised myself, I am never getting on that ride again. I am never going to do that again. And a lot of people are laughing and having a good time, and I'm just praying, God, get me off of this thing. I don't want to be on this anymore. So then I think about these 2 grown men, 6 amusement parks in a week, and 78 rides, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? What is going on? Laughter and merry and good times and all of this. I'm telling you, the world, nothing wrong with a good time. Nothing wrong with a good laugh. And I like a good laugh as much as anyone does, and probably more than others. And I like to have a good time. I think a good sense of humor is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I know I've been around some holiness people that they have a frown on their face. No matter what you say to them, they keep that frown. And they almost look scary because they don't know how to smile, have a good time. There's 2 extremes. Amen. 2 extremes here. Nothing sinful about laughing, but Solomon was just saying, I was looking for fulfillment in a good time. I was looking for a good time. Sometimes we look for a good time to try to drown out the fact that we are unhappy. We're unfulfilled. We can't find any real joy. So we're looking for a good time. Let's go here. Let's do this. Let's get involved in this activity. Let's create this fun thing. Always trying to find a good time instead of just looking to the Lord. Amen. I believe we can have a good time and serve God. I believe you can enjoy life and serve the Lord. But Solomon was warning us about things like just seeking after a good time just for the sake of a good time to try to fulfill your life. And if you're doing that, you are going to be empty. If you spend your weekends looking for a way to have a good time, you're going to be sad every Monday morning. You're going to be disappointed every week if that's what you are doing. And then he talks about other things. And you'll notice in this text that how he uses the word I. This is what he did. A part of Solomon's problem, he was so self-focused. Just look at it here. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds. I made me a pool, pools of water. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens. And you can just read on down through chapter 2 and you can see that it's all self-focused. He was looking for things to satisfy himself. Amen. In the work of the Lord, in the life of the believer, no longer are we to be satisfied or fulfilled in and of ourselves. We have to look for ways to please God. We have to look to the Lord and how I can live my life to please the Lord. He talks about drinking wine and alcohol and all the things, you know, and a lot of people look to things of this world such as that, all trying to satisfy the desire of their heart. Notice in verse 10, chapter 2, he says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. No restraint. Everything I saw, if I wanted it, I went after it. It was mine. It was my possession. Everything was focused on self-satisfaction, trying to please himself instead of pleasing the Lord in all that he did. Do you know, that's another reason why that he brought in all these 700 wives. Sure, I know that it was political, and no doubt it was, you know, his strategy to try to create peace with all the surrounding nations. I understand that. But I also believe that he was looking for something in one of those wives, and he just kept adding to it. Because even with 700 wives and 300 concubines, he could not be satisfied. He was looking. He was looking. Do you remember Jesus when he went? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And there he met a woman at that well that day. And that woman, she had five husbands. And the one she was living with was not her husband. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that she was trying to find fulfillment in all these relationships, and she could not. And then he told her, this is what can satisfy you. I can give you something to drink. It'll satisfy you. I can offer myself and the work of the kingdom of God to you, and you will be satisfied. All of these relationships will fail you. Amen. And that's what Solomon was going through. And he gave the warnings again and again and again. And the warnings to all of us. Don't make I the center of the focus of your life. Now, the sad thing about the life of Solomon is that the wisest man who ever lived became the biggest fool. It's unbelievable. It's hard to imagine that he could fall so low and go so far away. But remember, all that he says as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, all that he's doing is he's sending out a journal of experiences and warning. And he's writing it all down so that all of us and all in the years since his life that read the book of Ecclesiastes would be warned of the failure of pursuing after the things of this world. Amen. Verse 15, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. My goodness. How terrible, how awful to think that this wisest of men became the biggest fool. It is a reminder to us of how desperately we need God. How desperately we need wisdom from God. And we need to pursue after the things of God instead of the things of this world. All the things that are under the sun, that none of them will fulfill you. None of them will satisfy you. The only thing that satisfies is knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The only thing that satisfies is pursuing Him, walking with the Lord, living your life to please the Lord. That's all that matters. Amen. That's all that really matters, is pursuing after the things of God. It's a reminder to us also of how fleeting everything in this life is. It's all that's going to pass away. It's all going to be gone. I've talked to you before about my uncle, my mother's brother, who worked on the railroad literally all of his life. He lied to be able to get the job because you had to be a certain age, and he was younger than that age, and he got the job, and he worked on the railroad all of his life, something like 60 years. He worked, and he saved his money. He invested his money. He bought railroad bonds. He bought property all the way up to, in Tulsa County, 320 acres, worth a fortune. Worth a fortune. He bought it when he was a younger man, and then all of those years it just increased in value. He had a son, and his son wouldn't work. His son was just kind of living off of dad and did that pretty much all of his adult life. And when my uncle died, he left it to him, all of that money, all that he scraped and worked and saved and all of those possessions, and had a big herd of cattle and all kinds of things. He had all of these possessions and he left it to his son. His son, of course, would have never realized that in just 3 years he was going to die. A young man. He died. And then all of his possessions went to his wife, who was crazy, and spent it all in a matter of a year or two. Went through every bit of it. All that he worked for. All of those years. And the waste. The waste. The waste. I want you to know that all that you have and all that you could ever accumulate, it's really just going to pass away. It's just going to pass away. That's why it's so important to put God first in every area of your life. That's the message of Ecclesiastes. Put Him first. Set aside all of the things that are a part of your selfish pursuit and pursue after God. Chapter 2 is a lesson in Solomon admitting, this is what I chased after. This is what I pursued after. I look for all of these things. And when he comes to the end, he recognizes, I was just a fool. I was just a fool because I put all of my desires in the things of this world. It's an important thing to come face to face and be honest with yourself before God and put Jesus first in your life. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That's all that really matters. That's the only thing that has any eternal value, is just your walk with the Lord and your knowledge of the Lord and His Word. That's all that's going to last beyond this life. Don't be foolish and think that you can invest in good times or in possessions or any of the things of this world and think that that's going to satisfy. It's not going to get beyond your grave. It's not. Put him first in all that you do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the warning from Solomon. You warning us, Lord, telling us of all these things, Lord, that we do. And when we fulfill ourselves or try to fulfill ourselves, we're just grasping at the wind. We're vexed because it doesn't provide any real satisfaction. Oh, Lord, I just pray for everyone in this building today, Lord, that has allowed themselves to set their heart and their affection on things, on good times, on pleasures of this world. I just pray, Lord, that if that is their pursuit, Lord, that there would be an awakening in their heart today, that they would receive the warning from Solomon, don't make this foolish mistake. Don't make this foolish mistake. Put the Lord first. Put the Lord first. Put the things of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God, put it first. And I pray, Lord, for everyone, man and woman, young person, everybody in this service this morning, Lord, that they would put you first in all of their pursuits, we pray. In Jesus' name.